first message is entitled Belief and Obedience. Belief and obedience are the two vital attributes necessary to grow spiritually. On page 60 of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, it is stated that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines, and we claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. In order to accomplish the desired result of achieving spiritual progress, it is necessary to have both an unwavering belief in the entire program of Alcoholics Anonymous and strict obedience to the suggestions that are made in the program. Giving lip service alone to striving for spiritual progress just doesn't do the job. Let's analyze those two words, belief and obedience. First, Webster says that belief means confidence or trust. If we have trust or confidence in somebody or something, we can go forward secure in the knowledge that that person or thing will do whatever it was supposed to. Upon waking every morning, we have a firm belief that the sun will rise at the scheduled time. If we do a lot of saltwater fishing or operate a fairly large boat, we depend upon the tides, and we are always confident that the tide will change in accordance with the tide tables. We are putting our trust, our confidence, our belief in a power outside of ourselves and greater than ourselves to accomplish a certain purpose. Now let's consider the second word, obedience. Webster defines this as submissive to the restraint or command of authority. Anyone reading this who has served in any branch of our armed forces will readily understand that definition. When given an order, you do it without question. The condition most of us were in when first approached AA should be a good indication that it would be wise to follow that definition and proceed to obey without question these suggestions being made by those who have already achieved a measure of successful sobriety. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous provides us with all the tools we need to change our lives and become first-class citizens again, living happily and securely in an entirely new environment, free from the destructive forces of alcohol. Probably the most important tools in our toolbox are the 12 steps. Most approach the program rather carefully, not knowing just what to expect. But most members are helpful, and someone will arrange for a sponsor to guide you through the steps. Of course, you continue to use the 12 steps in your everyday life, the rest of your life. They become a part of your daily maintenance program. Likewise, regular attendance at meetings becomes your medication, which must be taken regularly for as long as you live, even if you expect to live a life of sobriety. Just as the diabetic must take regular shots of insulin every day, meetings are the life-saving medication you must take faithfully in whatever dosage seems necessary. In a short time, you will come to have the utmost belief in the efficacy of your program of recovery as prescribed for you by your sponsor and other members of your group. As you listen to the stories of the members who have accumulated many years of sobriety and become aware of the kind of lives they are now living, this knowledge should serve to strengthen your belief in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. As your belief grows stronger, so will the realization of the importance of being obedient to the suggestions found in the big book and from the words of the older members. You should become aware of the need to become thoroughly involved in every aspect of this great program, not just meekly parroting the words with no thought as to their true meaning. For instance, we say that we will turn our lives over to the care of God. Now that is a statement not to be taken lightly, and is not restricted only to our problems with alcohol. It means everything will be turned over to Him. We will go to Him the first thing in the morning for direction for the day, and for strength to do whatever tasks are put before us this day, secure in the knowledge that He will provide whatever we need to accomplish those tasks. Frequently during the day, our thoughts should turn to Him either for guidance or, and this is very important, to thank Him for what He is doing for us. As you strive to improve your conscious contact with God, through prayer and meditation, you will find that he becomes a close friend, always beside you to provide whatever is needed at any time. Someone to whom you can turn to for support, strength, guidance, everything. You begin to realize that no matter where you go or what the circumstances, God is always there with you. As your years of sobriety grow, your bond with him becomes stronger, and you will come to know his presence so much more as long as you continue to be obedient and always remember to thank him. I am reminded of my early meetings from 50 years ago when it was suggested to me that I turn my will and my life over to the care of God, and that I pray starting by getting down on my knees the first thing every morning. At the time, I had only a partial belief, a belief in the program and the men I met at those first meetings, but I had lost my belief in God. Nevertheless, that belief in the program was sufficient to encourage me to be obedient to the suggestions that were being made as to how I should be conducting my life. In a short time, I realized my prayers were being answered in a magnificent way, and my belief in God soon was fully reinstated. My sponsor was a big ex-Marine who was tough with me and accepted no excuses. But this was just what I needed. In 1958, the economy was not good, so I seemed to be having difficulty in finding a job. I tried to be obedient to what I was being told at the nightly meetings, but after a time I became discouraged and told my sponsor that it was no good and I might as well be out drinking. He gave me a good dressing down and told me to continue to believe that God had a place for me, and when he was ready, he'd tell me about it. Finally, after several weeks, a small ad appeared in the newspaper and seemed to jump off the page at me. It was for a job I knew nothing about and had no interest in learning, but for some reason it seemed to be attracting my attention. So I said, "All right, Lord, if this is it, let's have a go at it." I answered the ad, got the job, and from then on my life began moving at a fast pace and fantastic things began to happen. The result of answering that ad was a whole new career in an entirely different business, very fast promotions, an almost new car in just a couple of months, and a very successful business for 47 years until I retired recently. Added to that, I met and married a lovely woman who had an executive position in the medical field and who gave me a fine son and was the best friend I ever had for 43 wonderful years. She was also one of my strongest supporters in AA, attending almost as many meetings as I did. In fact, our first date, I took her to an AA meeting, and she was shocked when the man sitting behind her leaned over, tapped her on the shoulder, and said, "Burnsy, when you see me in the OR tomorrow morning, forget you saw me here tonight." He was the chief surgeon in the big hospital where she worked. She couldn't believe the head surgeon was a drunk. In Psalm 40 in the Bible it is written, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock." In our battle with booze, we have descended to unknown depths of degradation. But when we make that decision and actually turn our lives over to God, everything changes, and he takes over and raises us back up out of the miry clay and sets us upon solid footing. Then it is up to us to believe and obey, leaving the rest to him. For obedience means leaving the consequences to God. And oh, I know, he can be trusted. God is good. Just give him the chance to prove it in your life.